and also see other good things that other folks are doing. So that's a great thing. A little differently from that, sometimes other churches that I've served at have some unique things because of the area, some maybe misconceptions, some things that are held that are not biblically accurate and all. And I'm going to talk about one of those here in just a moment, but let's pray first. Father, we thank you for you. We thank you. I think of the song, I Run to Christ. I run to your word, Father. Thank you that you preserved it for us. And Father, we pray as we think about today that you'd help us as individual Christians to grow spiritually, to get that which you have for us, not just in the preaching this morning, but Sunday school, every time we're in the word, every time we hear it preached or taught, that we would be just sitting at your feet, looking and hungering and thirsting after what you have to feed us, be it comfort that we need or wisdom and principles from your word for the next step or even a rebuke. We pray that you'd help us to get what you have for us because you love us and want us to grow in unity, unity with you, unity with our local body of believers. And so, Father, help us to grow spiritually as individuals and as Steam Valley Bible Church. We ask for your help with this, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When God had Paul write to the church at Ephesus here, really it was written on two different levels in this particular section. And as I mentioned before, you know, eventually the whole church will be perfected and in heaven together. And we look forward to that day. So on the one hand, we see the entire body of Christ made up of all true believers growing gradually until it reaches spiritual perfection, spiritual maturity, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we'll talk about some of those words later on in the message. But then, as whether you call that the universal or the invisible church, those aren't necessarily biblical terms, but trying to communicate well here. He also addresses here the local bodies, and specifically here, the body, the local church at Ephesus, to whom this was written to, but by way of application to us as well, Steam Valley Bible Church today. He also saw the local bodies of believers ministering to each other, growing together, and thereby experiencing spiritual unity on the local level, even with so many very different parts of the body. And of course, I love the Lord's illustration. He talks about the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is the head, and the body, like physical bodies, are made up of all kinds of parts. And it really is true. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and when the parts of the body are working well, and it's really neat how they work together, but the opposite is also true. When one's kind of out of joint, it seems to affect everything else, you know? So it's interesting as we think about that illustration. So I'd like to share a true story. In a different church from Steam Valley Bible Church that I pastored an elderly couple. And when they came to the church, I met with them. I got to know them, asked them about their testimonies of salvation, etc. They gave solid testimonies. They faithfully attended our church, but they never became members of our church. When I talked with them about becoming members, they said that they only wanted to be members of the universal or invisible church. They were not teachable about biblical principles about that. So how did the church that I pastor respond to them? Well, of course, we shunned them. When we had to interact, I had to write this out. We shunned them when we had to interact. We were mean to them and asked them not to come anymore. That's not true. That's not true. In fact, we continue to love them, serve them, and you know, it is a privilege to be asked to conduct a funeral, and I conducted the funeral for that man. I'm not sure if the wife is still living or not. That's a true story and of a personal experience. Here's another true story, but not my personal experience. A missionary visited a pastor, not me, and asked for financial support. What mission board or local church are you associated with? The pastor asked. The missionary replied, I belong to the invisible church. The pastor then asked, well, what local church are you a member of? Again, the missionary replied, I belong to the invisible church. The pastor was getting a bit suspicious. He said, when does this invisible church meet? Who pastors it? The missionary then became somewhat angry and said, well, your local church here isn't the true church. I belong to the invisible church. How do you think the pastor replied? The pastor replied, well, here's some invisible money to help you minister to the invisible church. Now, humor and a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and I'm not saying whether that pastor was right or wrong to say that. I will not judge. But that pastor was not denying the existence of the one O-N-E body, like we studied about. Rather, he was affirming the fact that the invisible church, or however you want to call that, ministers through the visible church, local churches. You know, it's kind of like your family. I belong to the whole family. And that's kind of like a neat way of saying, I don't want to belong to a little family, even though I do, because God put me into a little family. Because if I belong to that little family, they're really going to know me, and I can't play charades, you know. I can't be a hypocrite. Because they're going to know I'm a sinner. They're going to know when I'm growing in Christ and when not, etc. And you know, frankly, that's part of the purpose of the local church. Because we get together and we're reminded who God is, but we're also remembered who we are. We are sinners saved by grace. We have not reached perfection yet. And if we cannot minister and have unity one with another, how in this world are we going to be effective at being a testimony for those who are lost? And so obviously, I will often say that I'm a local church man. Why? Because God has ordained the local church. Because he knows what we need. We need to get fresh views of ourselves and our God and how wonderful he is. And but for his grace and mercy, we would have no peace now or for eternity. Spiritual leaders of local churches, they're supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, the building up of the body of Christ. The saints, a local church does not call a pastor and pay him to do the work all by himself. They call him and follow his leadership as he, through the word, equips them to do the job with him. Amen? That was weak. Amen? And I know you're with me on that. I want to read this. Members of the church grow spiritually by feeding on the word of God, boom, and ministering to each other. Jesus Christ is our perfect example. He was and still is not just the King of Kings, but the servant of servants. And evidence of spiritual growth is growth in, and this is the first 4.1 on your handout there, growth in Christlikeness. Growth in becoming more like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Washing feet, being concerned for the inside. What is going on in that mind? What's going on in that heart? For if there is something truly spirit rot going on in the heart, the outside will follow. But if it's not genuine on the inside, it doesn't matter what the outside's like. And God forbid that we should ever be a church that emphasizes the outside. If the inside is genuine, there will be growth in Christ. Growing, becoming more like Jesus Christ. Spiritual unity is strengthened by growth in Christlikeness. I want to turn to 2 Timothy 3. You can turn there with me if you want, but I'd just like to read from 2 Timothy 3, pretty familiar passage. And it says this, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13 says this, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Pastor Josh and Kayla just went to a conference and things, and just talking about, I realize that since Adam and Eve, we are all members of dysfunctional families. But as our country and as our world has moved farther and farther and further from Christian principles, things are just waxing worse and worse. We need spiritual growth in our individual lives and the lives of churches that stand up and meet what we are studying today. And I think about this, just little children being taught the Word of God, and I am so grateful. It was just a blessing to work with that young child this week and to watch, and just the Lord opened his heart. It's God. It's God. But yet we have the privilege to plant water to see the Word of God. There is nothing like being there when God saves a soul. There's nothing to realize that it's not you that saves it. But yet we are co-laborers together with him. We plant, we water, but just to be there, this, it's a work of God. You know, that is a distinction between apostate churches. Apostate churches are glad to work on social issues, feed folks physically and stuff like that. That's not bad. But if it's at the expense of giving forth the Word of God, speaking the truth in love, and seeking to compassionately, led by the Spirit of God, confront them with the truth, who is Jesus Christ, that they need to be saved, then it's wrong. It's wrong. Satan is glad for us to feed people. Satan is glad for us to do things, but the hosts of hell come out against seeking souls to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The children, verse 14, but continue thou in the things thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We're talking about Ruth this morning and about the influence we have on other folks' lives and down through the generations. Look at verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we go back to Ephesians. We go back to Ephesians here. Spiritual unity is strengthened by growth in Christlikeness. How do we grow to be more like Jesus Christ? Well, this word that he's given us is fulfilled every jot and tittle by he who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we could legalistically say, how much are you in the Word of God? Well, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith not just to get saved, but faith to face whatever you're going to face this week that God knows, and sometimes you know and sometimes you don't know. Be in the Word of God, yes. Study it, memorize it, meditate upon it. Take the messages home or that you hear and pray through them. God is not playing games. It was good for the Ephesians here in the first century, but they're done. You're not. It's good for you. How are you growing? That's a good, Lord, how do you want me to grow? What, he's not going to just say, grow in every area. He's going to, just like you do with a child, you don't expect them to grow in every area. You work on certain things and bring them along. Think about that in your own life. Ask God about it. Look at verse 13. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The measure is Jesus Christ. The measure is Jesus Christ. Oh, I said, you know, how do you grow in spiritual maturity? Don't look at the person next to you. Look at Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be in this word. Because this is the truth. Jesus is the way. He is the life. We need to compare ourselves, not to our spouse, not to our children, not to our parents, not to... We need to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. You know what? We will find ourselves wanting. We will find ourselves not having arrived. We will find ourselves wanting, wanting encouragement and getting it, wanting comfort and getting it, wanting challenges and getting it, wanting principles for the next step and getting it, because this word is alive. It's powerful. And it's not just concerned with what you do or don't do, what you think or don't think. It's why and our motive and our heart behind things. And the Holy Spirit is your personal tutor, if you're saved, who indwells you, that takes this and illuminates it and leads you along, not just what to do or not do, but to empower you to obey. Not legalistically, but Spirit-led and empowered. The measure is Jesus Christ. He's the standard of the maturity to which we, the church, and as individuals in the church, need to aspire. I want to become more like Jesus Christ. That's it. Notice it says the fullness. The fullness is the fullness of Christ's. Christ's fullness is the full expression of his divine and human perfection. And The Lord put this together. I certainly did not. But Ephesians 3:19 is actually our theme verse for all of 2021. And Ephesians 3:19 says this, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that knowledge of God and his love is bad. It means that you just don't know about the Ephesians, but you know it in your own life. You've experienced it. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a blessing. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Do you desire to be filled with the Spirit of God? Do you know when you've quenched the Spirit? Do you know when you've grieved the Spirit? Do you talk to God or do you just read the Bible? Check. He's glad for it to reach your head, not your heart. Because if it doesn't reach your heart, it's not going to affect your will. All right? He's glad for you to come to church and leave the same as you came. But God is the author of change, because we must change to become like the changeless one. Could I run to 2 Corinthians 3:18? This is dangerous. It's not in my notes. But we all, 2 Corinthians 3:18, with open face, we are honest before God. Are we honest? We all with open face, beholding as a glass, this is the glass, the word of God, beholding as a glass, we are beholding the glories of God, his perfection, his holiness, his sinlessness. And as I compare myself to Jesus Christ, my God, I'm seeing his glories. I'm seeing his mercy, his grace to even condescend to deal with me, to love me, to have mercy upon me, his steadfast love, his not giving me the punishment I deserve, his grace. We all with open face beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord might be? No, we are changed. We are changed in the same image from glory to glory. Till we get to heaven, from glory to glory, there's more to work on. There's more to yield to the Spirit of God doing in our lives. And just like physically, we can tell when someone's growing physically, these little children, it's very obvious. You know what? It's pretty obvious when we're growing spiritually too. From glory to glory, even as by what? Your workaholic spirit? No, by the Spirit of God. God is jealous for the glory, because there's some things you can't work hard enough for. You've got to just yield to the Spirit of God doing it in you. Personal note, it's good to go away. Good to come back. I wrote this out. I'm very encouraged and thank the Lord for a great blessing from our small groups. This is just a little thing. And this is it. Those that are teaching the small groups, block your ears. The encouragement is that godly, spiritually mature and maturing, notice that, spiritually mature and maturing men are leading in the teaching of the Word of God, discipling others. With that in mind, Lord willing, Pastor Josh and I are going to a conference in November about church leadership and discipling. And we're looking forward to Steam Valley Bible Church continuing to grow in that specific area. I like to tell folks, sometimes I think of a pastor, and it's like, I need to be discipled. I need to grow in Christ. We all need to be discipled. Sometimes what's happened in some of our churches is someone makes a profession of faith, that's great, we disciple them. Six lessons, boom, 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 boom. Okay. Wow. I don't know about you, but life constantly throws us different things. And we need to not just be discipled, but there's something I was sharing with Will a little bit, not specifically about this, but boy, when you stand in front of folks and teach, it makes you pay a little more attention. And we shouldn't put folks in that position. Not everybody should be standing in front of a cloth, be not many masters. Scriptures talks about that. But we all have someone, if we're saved, that we can disciple. There are folks around us. The majority of this world is lost. You're here today. You know so much of the Word of God compared to the Word, to the world. And folks need that one-on-one discipling. And sometimes, you know, I wrote down this illustration. For a body of water, stagnation sets in if there is inlet with little or no outlet. And the principle holds true for Christians and our growth and spiritual maturity. We surely do not want to stagnate spiritually, either individually or at Steam Valley Bible Church. God calls us again, that illustration, members of his body, Jesus Christ of the head, together we can serve God more fully, effectively than any of us could alone. God, you know, folks, one of my little hobby horses, try to be careful. When folks say, I don't go to church. I don't need to go to church. I don't want to go to church, but I am saved. It's like, you are witnessing against yourself because God clearly says not to forsake these themselves together. You say, well, we can assemble together by way of technology. I won't go off on that, at least not right now. It's great to look at a screen. Okay, I'm going off on it. Because that pastor or that guy, no matter if he's the best preacher in the world, does not know you. And he can pray, God bless you. But he can't pray, God, if it's your will, please reattach that bag so she doesn't have to have that colostomy. Please help them with this medical issue that they're going through right now. Help them with that child that they're so burdened for. Help them not to carry a load of guilt, et cetera, et cetera. It is human tendency to overestimate what we can do by ourselves and to underestimate what we can do as a group. The truth is just the opposite. As the body of Christ, we can do more functioning together than we would dream possible working by ourselves. I loved it when I was with that little fellow, grade four, sorry, that received Christ. I got to talk to his father. I'd go to folks and say, hey, Dad, this is what your son did today. He prayed to receive Christ as Savior. We don't tell him he's saved. We don't tell him he's not saved. We don't put high pressure on, but God's given you this child, so his dad, we want you to know what was going on. You're welcome to come, ask questions, visit, whatever you'd like to do. We're glad to help. But then I like to get them, and there was folks here, and so I said to this fellow, I said to the guy who received Christ, prayed to do so, I said, why don't you tell Pastor Josh? And then I said, oh, there's Miss Carol, why don't you tell her? And Carol comes over, and she says, you're now my brother in Christ. And I'm like, yes! The family of God. And what he didn't know is that our church family has been praying for him and his family because we know them. We know them. And we love them, even though we know them. And that's what good parents do for their children. And that's what good pastors and brothers and sisters in Christ do for the church body that they're a part of. Just like a marriage, we don't look and ask God to send us a perfect spouse. We ask us to send the spouse that God has chosen for us, to come along and compliment us. That we can do more together than we could singly if that's God's will for us. As a church, you don't look for a perfect church. You look for the church that God has prepared for you to be served in and to serve through. Because that's the way we grow, by being reminded of how good God is. And sometimes we go, how bad Christians are. No, how bad I am and my need for Christ. Spiritual unity is strengthened by growth in Christlikeness. Can you imagine God of eternity past, Jesus Christ, the fellowship, the wonder of that perfection in eternity past, and God the Father sending Jesus to come to this earth because he loves you. So next time you think you have it rough, think of Jesus. Lord, help me to grow to be more like him, because this old world is in such need of biblical love. Remember that whole thing about all the gifts, and the Corinthians got off on that? If you give your body to be burned and have not love, it's like Zippo. The fruit of the Spirit of God. Spiritual unity is strengthened by growth in Christlikeness. Are you growing to be more like Jesus Christ? Or would you rather just be satisfied with comparing yourself to whoever else you think is not so good as you? 4.2, spiritual unity is strengthened by growth in stability. The mature Christian is not tossed about by every religious novelty that comes along. I was reading, let me read this. There are religious quacks waiting to kidnap God's children and get them into their false cults. But the mature and maturing believer recognizes false doctrine. Boy, do we need discernment. Technology is great for getting out the truth, but it's also great for getting out false teaching. And this is a fact, you can study it out. The cultists do not try to win lost souls to Christ. They do not establish rescue missions in the slum areas of cities because they have no good reason for the man on Skid Row. Instead, these false teachers try to capture immature Christians or those who profess to be Christians. And for this reason, most of the membership of their false cults come from local churches, particularly churches that do not feed their people the Word of God. Churches that just give the milk, but not the meat of the Word of God. Churches that do not speak the truth in love, the whole truth, and like our courts say, nothing but the truth. All the truth. Some people think that learning doctrine, remember Ephesians 1 through 3? Doctrine. What's doctrine? The teaching of the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord, this is the way it is. The good, the bad, the ugly. This is truth. Ephesians 1 to 3, we went through that. And some people say that doctrine is divisive, but really it is people who divide the church. Whereas the knowledge of the Son of God, both knowing Jesus Christ personally as Savior and understanding what He did and taught and growing in that knowledge, is a building up type thing, edifying, and brings about maturity when set forth in love, Philippians 3:10. The work of pastors is to proclaim and teach the Word of God. What's the theme of the Word of God? Jesus, who is the Word. It's all about Jesus Christ. Rather than on speculative or eccentric teaching of their own. I said to folks, I can bring up words. I can bring up words mass. I can bring up vaccine. I can bring up politics. Whew, we've got attention. I'm not falling on my sword for any of them. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ. Because whether you're for or against mass or vaccines or whatever administration is currently in, state, local, or federal, they are going to pass away and they will not matter a hill of beans for eternity. The world, the devil, and the flesh is very good at distracting us. Let me tell you what I think about this. You know, I had someone ask me about it. It was a very good thing. Someone texted me. I won't say a name because you know who it is. And said, Pastor, and I'm glad as a pastor you have, you know, I'm glad folks ask me things, personal things, that's fine. But they asked, what do you think about vaccines? And I was like, I really try. My goal is to get back to folks within 24 hours. I wait a little bit, but I got back within 24 hours, but I prayed about it. And what I wrote back was this. I was like, well, if you want, I can talk to you about vaccines a little bit later, but whenever anybody asks me something that's so socially like that, I just thought, well, that's not necessarily bad for them to ask me, but I'm going to respond to you by saying, can you tell me about your relationship with Jesus Christ? And I was wondering if I'd offend the person. They got back and said, bravo! And I said, yes, thank you. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of this world and the flesh and the devil having boldness that is absolutely ungodly. Godly boldness is not brutish or ugly, but it's speaking the truth in love. I'm getting a little ahead of myself as we think of stability here. Some people think that learning doctrine, what God says, is divisive, but it's people who divide the church, whereas the knowledge of the Son of God, both knowing Jesus Christ personally and understanding what He did and what He does, is building up people spiritually and brings forth maturity. Spiritual unity is strengthened by growth in stability. Do you have family members who are not stable? So many times folks are looking for God to tell them about this, which is way down the road, when this thing that's so clear in Scripture, they don't have down yet. I often say, you know, it's like trying your child coming to you, and I know it's ridiculous, it's another one of those hobby horses, you know, can I drive the car, Dad? Well, maybe when you start brushing your teeth regularly. You know, it's like, We want the product without the means. We want to just jump ahead of all these things. You got bad breath, so I'm not putting you behind the wheel of a car. That may seem ridiculous, but sometimes the ridiculous brings home the point. Spiritual unity is strengthened by growth and stability. 4.3, spiritual unity is strengthened by growth and speaking the truth in love. Christ is the truth. Amen? John 14:6. And the Holy Spirit who guides the church is the Spirit of truth, John 16:13. Satan, by contrast, is the father of lies, a murderer, John 8:44. As followers of Christ, we need to be committed to the truth. This means that both our words will be honest and our actions will reflect Christ's integrity. Speaking the truth in love, it's not always easy. Ma'am, you have cancer. That's not easy. Speaking the truth in love is not always pleasant, convenient, easy, but it is necessary if the church is going to do God's work in the world. On your handout there, it says, truth without love is brutality. Truth without love is brutality. Sometimes folks can be brutal with the truth. And notice I put truth in quotes, because really that's not truth. That's not biblical truth. It's not truth if there's no love with it. I also put love in italics. Love without truth is what? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. I think about this in illustration. Little children do not know very well how to blend truth and love. And sometimes as a result of that, we have bullying, and that's another issue. But they think that if you love someone, you need to shield them from the truth. Just don't tell them. I'm not going to tell you you have cancer. Don't tell them. That's not love. That's not truth. Jesus Christ, his truth does not compromise his love. His love does not compromise truth. He's perfection. He is truth. He is love. He's the embodiment of it. It's a mark of maturity when we're able to share the truth with our fellow Christians and do it in love. Proverbs 27:6, don't turn there, but I'll read it for you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. What does that mean? Oh, how you doing? I'm fine. You're great. Yeah, you're doing really well. You're looking good. Then we go over to Joe and say, hey, did you see him? His left ear is missing. I mean, I know that's ridiculous, but it's like, what is that? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Hey, Joe, your ear just fell off. You ought to know. Instead of gossiping to somebody else about it who's not part of the problem or the solution. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. We have no greater friend than Jesus Christ, who is truth and love. Are you zealous at developing your intimate relationship with him? Effective, fervent prayer in the Word, meditating on Scripture. I love our Sunday school class. I love all that. And the body of believers. I learned so much from you folks. It's a great blessing. Spiritual unity is strengthened by growing in speaking the truth in love. And lastly, 4.4 on your handout, spiritual unity is strengthened by growth in cooperation. Steam Valley Bible Church, 2021, transition. Ooh. You know, Josh and I are both really handsome. I got what he meant. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? What's good about, not all change is good, right? That was nice thinking, that's true, not all change is good. But it is oftentimes good. Change wakes us up, because sometimes we get in a rut and just do, we can get in a rut reading the Word of God. Got it, check, boom. What did you learn? How is God working in your life today? Talking about that, you know, I read that conscious book, but now that I'm teaching, it's like, okay, I need to read that again. I personally need to write it down, because if I write it down, it forces me. That's not good for, you know, people learn different ways and things like that. Could I talk about this a little bit? And the Bible says in 2 Thomas 3:4 that you should have a weekly bulletin. No. The Bible says that you should have a monthly bulletin. No. Was the weekly bulletin perfect? No. Is the monthly bulletin perfect? No. It's not about the bulletin, but it is how you respond to it. Can you make suggestions? Yes. When you make suggestions, should you go and talk to somebody that's not part of it at all and gossip? Or should you go to Pastor Josh? Satan is a master at getting division over things that will not matter a hill of beans 100 years from now. And may I say, as a pastor, I am thrilled. But don't let down on praying about this transition, man. Because Satan wants this church to go down. It's not so much, I just use that as a stupid little example Pastor Josh brought up this morning and stuff like that. It's the things underlying and how we deal with things. Is it loving? Does it promote joy? Are we speaking the truth with love? Well, I don't like change. I was talking to another brother, Earl. I said, how you doing? He said, Oh, just some aches and pains. I said, I'm with you, brother. I don't like change. How about it? I love it. I'm getting older. It's great. Juan and I were going to go for a walk last night. We both looked at each other and said, we're too tired. Let's go down and sit down. The good thing is we cleaned the whole house, too, because we have a small group there. See, there's more good things. It's like, oh, we better clean this place. Rochelle is shaking yes. The other small group is there. Change is hard. But do mark it down. Until we see Jesus, we need to change with good, godly, biblical change. The fruit of the Spirit of God in our kids and our world and our country is desperate to see the change that only God obviously can make. So spiritual unity is strengthened by growth in cooperation. I'm going to read this to save a little time. We realize that as members of one body in a local body, we belong to each other, we affect each other, and we need each other. Each believer, no matter how insignificant he may appear, has a ministry to other believers. Remember God's word about spiritual gifts that we went through a while ago. The body grows as the individual members grow, and they grow as they feed on the word of God and minister to each other. Note once again the emphasis on love. Ephesians 4:2, forbearing one another in love. This was written to the church. Forbearing one another. What does that mean? Putting up with one another. Sometimes folks, I can't believe what's going on in that church. And it's like, if I can gently say, oh, come on, are you married? How is it with your spouse? Can you believe what's going on with them? Would you like to tell me all of the negatives about your spouse? Yes, I would. Would you like to, instead, no, don't, would you like to tell me all the negatives about yourself? Would you like me to call your spouse to give you some help? We're so good at seeing the negatives in other people. By the way, I want to be very clear. Sometimes as the old man, as the off-the-scene-going pastor, I'm not planning on leaving. Don't read anything into it. But things change. And you can either deal with it biblically or you can try to ignore it. But they're going to change. Someday we're going to hear it, Trump. We're going to, amen to that change, right? Amen? How about, yeah, good hearty amen on that one. But until then, change is just a part of this life. And guess what? As you get older, they come faster and more furious and more difficult, frankly. And they are more opportunities to show the grace of God. Now, the emphasis on love, forbearing one another in love, speaking the truth in love in our text, edifying itself in love, the body edifying itself in love. We know about that. And not all families are like this anymore. But I believe most of the families here are, if not all of them. You've got a situation in your family. You've got a child. They are unquestionably, chapter and verse, wrong, in sin. Do you throw them under the bus? Maybe they're adults. No, you still love them. You pray for them. And the best thing you can do for them is draw near to Christ yourself so that your life is speaking the truth in love. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And you know darn well as a Christian that if they continue on like that, God will bring consequences. It's not going to be pretty. But your heart towards them is, there go I, but for the grace of God. Love is the circulatory system of the body. We've learned this in the last 2 years. It's been discovered that isolated, unloved babies do not grow properly and are especially susceptible to disease, while babies who are loved and handled grow normally and are stronger. So it is with the children of God. An isolated Christian cannot minister to others. You're isolated. We experience that a little bit. Try not to profile, but just generally speaking, I like to spend time alone. So I won't go male, female, or gender specific on that, but I'll tell you what, when we weren't able to meet, it was like, I really wanted to get out and be with people. An isolated Christian cannot minister to others, nor can others minister to him. And while God can do miracles and is not dependent on us, he does so often choose to work in and through people. Not just to be a challenge to us, but to be a blessing to us. It's impossible for spiritual gifts to be ministered when we're isolated. Spiritual unity is strengthened by growth in cooperation. Just as in a little family, we're going to teach that child to brush their teeth. And eventually, we're going to teach them to drive the vehicle as well. And that's a great blessing. And much on in between there. The same thing with the church as we go through iterations. We're going to work together for the glory of God. So then spiritual unity is not something actually that we manufacture. It is something we already have in Christ. But we must constantly be yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, who is well able to protect and maintain it. So you're in union with Christ. You're saved. That's what that means. But are you in unity with him? How is it? What is he doing in your life? How is he encouraging you? How is he comforting you? What principle? What is he teaching you? What is he growing you in? Truth unites, lies divide. Love unites, selfishness divides. It's not all about me and it's not all about you. It's all about Jesus Christ and what he is doing. He is the hero of the story of Ruth, not Ruth or Boaz. I get it, you know, humanly speaking versus... May that be true of Steam Valley Bible Church, that folks in the community would say, I don't know what's going on there, but God's doing something there. God, the God of God, is doing something there. Speaking the truth in love, let us yield to the Holy Spirit, enabling us to equip one another and edify one another, that all of us may continue to grow up to be more like Jesus Christ. I would like to, and I'm not quite done yet, but in Christ alone, I was thinking about Christ-likeness, and I'd like to sing that here in just a moment. But I was reading, I think it was in the Life Application Bible, and I was reading this, so I just want to read it to you. I thought it applied well, Life Application Bible. So I'm just going to read it. I'm a local church man because God put that in his word. Some Christians fear that any mistake will destroy their witness for the Lord. They see their own weaknesses, and they know that many non-Christians seem to have stronger character than they do. I call that sometimes when we're struggling, maybe even in sin or weights that God is dealing with us about, I call that personally morbid self-introspection. And we get down. We get discouraged. We get depressed. And we might think, how can we be new and different persons, holy and good? Can God use me? The good news is that Jesus forms us into a body, into a group of individuals who are united in their purpose and in their love for Christ and for one another. If an individual stumbles, did you stumble this week? I sure did. If an individual stumbles, the rest of the group is there to pick him up and help him walk with his Lord again. If an individual sins, he can find restoration through the church, Galatians 6:1, even as the rest of the body continues to witness to God's truth. We need each other. It's the way God designed it. We sharpen each other. We need to be sharpened, and we need to be sharpeners. As part of Christ's body, we reflect part of Christ's character and do part of his work. I don't know how all that works, but as we grow to be more like him, we will be able to better appreciate our brothers and sisters in Christ. I love it when the men are teaching. maybe I'll get away from small groups. When there's someone starting and playing the piano and they mess up, what do? You start praying for them. And when you're playing and messing up or doing something in leadership like that, you and somebody else is really have a heart for them. Why? Because you've been sharpened. You know that you can do your very best and you can prepare all that you want and then the technology doesn't work. Or then you can't remember Marlene's name. You know? Why? It's good for humility. It's not about me. It's about our God. It's about Jesus Christ. Spiritual unity is strengthened as Christians grow spiritually. How are you growing spiritually? On your handout there, I put this. It's not mine. I copied it from someone. I can't give credit. But the church's spiritual growth comes from Christ through the believer's ministry to one another as they continuously yield to the Holy Spirit, empowering them and the use of their spiritual gifts. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Think about that. If there's a need on your heart today, you know, maybe you need some specific help. You are assured of your salvation. Maybe you, you know, need some specific help. Glad to meet with you, pray with you. Lots of folks here can do that and help you out with that. Maybe there's some way you'd like to serve the Lord. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you're not sure of your salvation. There's a need on your heart for that. Or maybe some ways, like I'd really like to grow in Christ, but can you help me out with that? I believe the body can here. And so could I just end with this? I feel like in some ways it's been challenging, which is good, but negative. I want you to know I'm very excited and encouraged about what the Lord is doing at Steen Valley Bible Church. And he gets all the praise for that. Let's stand together and let's sing.